Well, why don't we get started? Good morning. It's good to see you all. So some of you are coming back from yesterday, and some of you, you weren't here yesterday, and you're coming today, which is just fine. I somewhat build on what I talked about yesterday, but for the most part, you'll get it. You're all smart. You'll pick up on it. So yesterday, we just talked about what are some common boundary issues that people have. We also defined boundaries and also looked at some scriptures just supporting and saying that, you know, it is not ungodly or unchristlike to say no in certain situations, and looking at how, you know, Jesus didn't do everything that everyone asked him to do, and how God told his people what he was okay with and what he wasn't okay with and held those boundaries. And that those were actually very loving. So today, I was going to end yesterday with a song, but we ran out of time, so I'm going to start today. And for those of you who were here yesterday, maybe you can think through, like, what kind of boundary issues does this person have? And if you know Ed Sheeran, he's awesome. And what's cool is there's lyrics, so if you have a hard time hearing what he's saying, you can read them. But let's just take a few minutes to listen to this and just, even if you weren't here yesterday, think maybe, even if you're not quite sure, what does she mean by boundary issues? Just see what maybe you notice.
I gave all my oxygen to people that could breathe. I gave away my money and now we don't even speak. I drove miles and miles, would you do the same for me? Honestly, offered up my shoulder just for you to cry upon. Gave you constant shelter and a bed to keep you warm. They gave me the heartache, and in return I gave a song. It goes on and on. Life can get you down, so I just numb the way it feels. Or drown it with a drink and out-of-date prescription pills. And all the ones that love me, they just left me on the shelf. Well, farewell. So before I say someone else, I've got to save myself. I gave you all my energy and I took away your pain. As human beings are destined to radiate or drain. Well, what line do we stand upon? Cause from here it looks the same. And scars remain. Life can get you down, so I just numb the way it feels. I'll drown it with a drink and out-of-date prescription pills. And all the ones that love me, they just left me on the shelf. No farewell. So before I save someone else, got to save myself. And if I don't, then I'll go back to where I'm rescuing a stranger just because they needed saving, just like that. Oh, I'm here again between the devil and the danger, but I guess it's beyond the shelf. And farewell. So before I say so now, I've got to save myself. And before I blame someone else, I've got to save myself. And before I love someone else, got to love myself.
Okay. I think we're done. Like, that's all you need to hear. Yeah, so the first time I heard that song, I was driving home from work and I just sobbed. I was like, he's nailing it. So what, if you were here yesterday or you are familiar with this concept, like what kind of boundary issues did you hear in that song? And even if you don't have the exact wording, just what did you hear where maybe he's been having a hard time with those boundaries?
Saying yes too much.
Yeah, saying yes too much.
And then he has
He needs to, you know, use substances to numb the pain that causes.
He's not like his mom. He doesn't have about it. He's complaining in the song.
Yeah, I love that, how self-aware he is. He's like, yeah, and it's my own fault that I'm here complaining about it. Yeah. Yeah, anything else that you guys noticed?
I like that he said, I can't remember the exact words, but some people are meant to radiate, and others meant to drain.
Yeah.
Ooh. This is something I almost brought up yesterday, is that you just, because I've just been through a drained period.
Yeah.
So I got so many things in the air, and there's so many critical, you know, issues that need to be taken care of, and it's not happening. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are the go-to people, the indispensable person, and it just does. You've got Stephen Covey talked about in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective Leaders, he talked about sharpening the saw. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't continue to drag that dull saw across. You take time to sharpen. We need to make time for ourselves.
It's a great metaphor for that self-care and filling yourself up. Thank you. Yeah, anything else that you noticed or that you picked up in that song of like, ooh.
He resented how he'd been treated.
Yeah. Yeah, he's saying, I love that first line, just kind of hits you in the gut. I gave all my oxygen to people who could breathe. You know, his life force, he gave that away to people who didn't even really need it, possibly who didn't even ask for it. And there's another line that says, I'll go back to rescuing a stranger just because they needed saving. Again, we don't know if these people are actually like asking this of him or are kind of pulling at him or, so we don't know if he's kind of that controller who just sees someone struggling and jumps in, even if they're not really asking for it, or if he's more of that compliant where he's like, well, this person needs this, so of course I'm going to do it, without really thinking, well, am I doing this to feel good about myself? Am I doing this to feel a sense of self-worth, or am I doing this out of genuine love for this brother or sister? And so most likely he is doing it out of this either obligation or out of, you know, that's where he gets his sense of worth is being needed by others. And that's incredibly common, more than we ever know. So we definitely see that it's taking a toll on him, and it's making him depressed and making him use alcohol and pills to deal with it. So that's pretty rough, right? Anything else that you guys noticed in that song?
Could that song also be sung by a woman?
I think so.
Yeah, the same issues.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like I could have written that song, but I'm not as good of a songwriter as him, but like I resonate with everything in that song. Absolutely. These issues, you know, they cross gender lines. They might look a little different between men and women, but it's the same stuff. Absolutely. Great. Well, I just think music has the power to just cut through. Like, it goes beyond our logical thinking and gets straight to our hearts. So I hope that you guys got something out of that. And if you want to listen to that song again, it's called Save Myself, and it's by Ed Sheeran. And he is just lovely. So today we're talking about So we've talked about the issues and the problems, but now so what? You know, you probably want some hope of like it can be different. So today we're going to talk a little bit more of how do we do this. And I just want to remind you of that phrase, poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. Again, I have that in my brain constantly. And that helps. That's one thing that helps me filter out. Is this something that would be good for me to help with, or is this really not something that would be good for me to help with? Is this person really in crisis and really needing support, or are they kind of not taking responsibility for their life? So just changing the way we think about these interactions is helpful, and sometimes we don't even need to say out loud, I am not going to do this for you because I'm setting a boundary, you know? Sometimes we don't even need to say that. Sometimes we just need to know in our own hearts and our own minds. Last night, someone texted me and asked if I could dog sit for them. I used to dog sit all the time when I was a student because I was so poor and I lived in a house with like 7 other people, so I wanted to get out of there all the time. But now, like, I live in a house I really like and I pay rent, so I don't really like to dog sit as much because I like my house. So she asked me and I had to think like, well, and I just got back from vacation and I was actually dog sitting before then, so I haven't even been home in 2 weeks. And my immediate feeling was like, I don't really want to. But I went through and I was like, well, you know, I'm sure they need someone. But I was like, well, I mean, they're leaving on Wednesday and she waited till Monday to text me. And, you know, that's not really my fault. And so I, you know, I decided and I thought through, how will I feel towards this person if I say yes? And I imagined what my week would look like if I was dog sitting in a different part of town than I live. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not gonna, it's gonna stress me out. It's gonna like add, it's gonna take away from what I wanna focus on. And so I decided to say no. So that's just an example of how I worked through that. Like, well, you know, does she have other options? Most likely she does. This isn't like a crisis. So in order to set boundaries, we need to know what we are and what we are not okay with, and everyone's might look different. What I might be okay with something that you guys think is like, no way, I would never let someone be that way with me, and vice versa. So this is not a one-size-fits-all approach. And in order to know that, we need to be aware of our needs, our desires, our values, our priorities, and our feelings. So yes, I'm a therapist. I'm going to talk about feelings because they're very important. And I believe God gave us feelings because they communicate to us. Has anyone seen Inside Out? Yeah. You see, like, the whole movie, Joy is like, what's the purpose of sadness? Like, what does she do? And at the end, it's like, oh, sadness tells people to come and, like, help us and support us. So even those feelings that we may not like or we might label as negative, they all serve a purpose. And sometimes we're taught that certain feelings are okay and others are not. Usually anger is usually seen as a not okay feeling. And yes, the Bible does say, in your anger, do not sin. But it doesn't say don't be angry because it's a sin. Because there's lots of times where God gets angry, right? Where Jesus gets angry. Where Jesus is yelling at people in the temple and he's really mad. And usually when we're angry, that's a signal that something is happening that we're really not okay with. Being angry or resentful is a really good sign that one of your boundaries has been crossed. And it took me until I was about 27 years old to admit that I get angry. I wouldn't, like, yell, but I would just vent. You know, I just vent. I just need to vent. But then my heart rate would increase and my face would get red. But no, I'm not mad. I just, you know, I'm just really concerned for this person. I can't believe they would do that. They must really be hurting. So, you know, for us to know that it's okay to be angry. Later on your way out, sometimes I give these feeling sheets to my clients because sometimes I'll be like, and what do you feel right now? And they cannot identify it. Sometimes it's really hard to identify what we are actually feeling. And we need like to see it in writing. And so if you want one of these on your way out, and this one's awesome because it has like the general ones and then like all these very descriptive words from the mildest to most intense feeling. So we need to be aware of what we're feeling. Because again, if you're feeling resentment, if you're feeling overly anxious, if you're feeling angry, that is a really, that's like your brain giving you a little poke like, hey, something's off, or maybe your boundary got crossed. So that's why that's so important. So also our needs. If has anyone here ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Yeah, if you've ever taken Psych 1, you know, it's pretty basic, but sorry, I'm trying to get back to my, there we go. So, you know, there's this idea that we have these basic needs, and there are certain needs that need to be met before we can even begin to think of others. And so I show this just to give you an idea of like, okay, what might some of my needs be? Again, if you're used to thinking about everyone else other than yourself, you may not even know what you need. And again, I'll ask people, what do you think you need from your spouse? What do you think you need from God? What do you think you need from yourself? And people will just not know. And so the most basic things are our physiological needs: food, water, warmth, rest, shelter. Sometimes I had an experience where I pushed through one day. I just saw like 9 clients in a row, and I would have like 5 minutes in between. So I always had to choose like, do I want to eat something? Do I want to go to the bathroom? Or do I want to write my notes? Like I could only choose one. And so my physiological needs really were not met that day. And at the end of the day, I just crashed, and I was barely holding on for my last client. So I wasn't taking care of those needs. And then safety needs, those are basic as well. We need to feel safe. We need to feel like we're not going to be physically harmed in any way. But that also goes for emotional safety. We need to know that we're not going to be ridiculed or humiliated emotionally or verbally abused, because that is really powerful as well. Even though it doesn't cause us physical harm, that psychological harm. We do need intimate relationships and friends. We do need a sense of belonging. God wired us for that. We need to feel purposeful and like we have a feeling of accomplishment. And then the final is that self-actualization, which is like, you know, that's like way up there. So if these things aren't met, you know, we're not gonna care about that. So this is to give you some ideas of what are maybe some of your needs. And maybe what are some of your needs that you don't acknowledge or push down? And then I also found this. This is our updated version, that Wi-Fi is our most basic need. And which it's kind of true, and that's a little scary.
Very scary.
Yeah. So, and then this is just fun. Just showing what I was talking about with you know, that every feeling has a purpose. So when we get something we want, we feel joy. You know, when there's an obstacle to something we want, we feel angry, you know, and that helps us destroy our obstacle. And sometimes that can be really good. If our obstacle is an injustice, you know, that was often what made God angry, was that injustice or people just not acting in a way that was in line with who he called them to be. Sadness can be we lost a valued object, so we feel sad, we cry, and then like we learn from inside out. That signals to people like, oh, that person needs some support. So again, our feelings all have a purpose. And it doesn't mean you have to run around like being like, I'm sad, you know. And it doesn't mean you have to again, we're responsible for our own feelings, right? So we're responsible for what we do with them. So if I'm feeling really sad, but I'm not letting anyone know, and then I get mad, no one comforted me. Can't believe no one comforted me. It's like, well, did you tell anyone you were sad? No. Well, then how are they supposed to know? Same thing with anger. Has anyone ever felt angry and you're like, I'm not going to say it, but I'm just going to bang around in the kitchen and I'm just going to load the dishwasher really aggressively and so they'll get the point and they don't, and then you get even more mad because they're not getting it? I've never done that before, ever. I did that last week with my dad. Oh my gosh. I'm like, and I just was like, Ariana, like, you're such a hypocrite. So yeah, so our feelings, we need to be aware of them, and then we need to know what to do with them appropriately. And also to let those be a signal if maybe there's something that we're not okay with going on. So rather than saying, well, you know, that's not really an okay feeling to have, to say, what is this trying to tell me? And maybe take a moment and think about, what are some different feelings you've had today? It's only 11:30, but I'm sure you've had a lot of different feelings. So just think about maybe what are two feelings you've had so far today, and what do you think led to those feelings? What experiences or thoughts caused those feelings? Just take a minute. And it might be a little difficult. So if you find that it's difficult to identify what caused that anger? What about that made me so angry? Or what about this made me so happy? A lot of times we just float through life and we don't even examine that. But when we can say like, oh, like if you're, you know, I have conversations and I'll notice myself getting upset, and then later I'll be like, what about that made me so upset? And sometimes it's not totally obvious. So that is a practice that, even though it's about feelings, that is going to contribute to your ability to set boundaries. Because if you know, like, oh, that made me angry because I felt taken advantage of and unappreciated, that might be a signal, okay, I think I need to have a boundary with that person or with this situation. So any thoughts or questions on that so far, on our feelings?
Yes. I had a feeling just at the coffee hour, mm-hmm. how my wife and I detailed our wedding and enjoyed that. And then it was time to say goodbye and then head down here. We both rejoiced over our wedding 3 years ago. But then, and now my beloved here, she just took off as if she's still back in her widowhood, and I felt sort of lonely that she was just walking off and leaving me alone.
Yeah.
But is that something I share with her and jump on her and say, come on, we're married.
Well, I guess I should first ask your wife, how do you feel with him sharing that right now?
Sorry.
A little embarrassed. Okay. So thank you for being honest. So I definitely have an answer, but that might be something that we talk about after. But I do say there is a way to share our feelings, you know, that is, again, we take responsibility for our feelings.
So I take responsibility for my own feelings.
Yes, and you can share them, because I'll use a different example that's similar just to not put you so on the spot. A lot of times, especially in our most intimate relationships, we all have a lens that we view the world through. And so the exact same event can happen to two different people, and they might have completely different feelings about it. So for me, if I'm, you know, similar, if I'm out with my boyfriend and we're having a great day and then he stops talking, so if I have the thought, oh, I bet he's really tired. He didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so that's probably why he's not talking. I'll probably just feel neutral and maybe be like, oh, it's kind of a bummer, but, you know, no big deal. If I think, oh, he's bored with me, he's tired of me, like, what kind of feelings would I have then? I might feel scared. I might start getting clingy. I might get mad at him. So, again, the way we think about an event is almost more important than the event itself, because we all interpret events in different ways. And usually our feelings aren't caused by the events themselves, they're caused by our belief about the event. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why it's good when something happens, especially with those that are closest to us, to take a step back, to believe the best about them, and just to say, like, hey, like, you know, when you stopped talking, like when you got quiet, I just wonder, like, are you okay? I feel like you're tired of me. And then they can say, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm just really exhausted. I'm really happy to be with you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that checking out your assumptions. Because a lot, we make so many assumptions. And so there is a way to check it out. But if I was just like, you are being such a jerk. You're not even talking to me. We have this special day together and you're ruining it. That's very different, right? But if we just stick to the facts, like, hey, you're getting really quiet. Is everything okay? So we can check that out. So
just personality differences would make that happen too.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
One person likes to be alone, the other person likes to be cleaner.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And part of boundaries is respecting other people's differences and respecting that not everyone is like us. How dare they not be like me? So yeah, because part of boundaries is respecting other people's boundaries. So maybe, you know, a family member, maybe they're not as extroverted as you, and they're like, I can stay at this party for like an hour or two, but then like I'm gonna be so fried, so I'm either gonna go sit on the porch by myself or I'm gonna head home. And you know, I've had lots of friends and couples who that's been a part of their relationship, and they used to get really mad, but then they're just like, oh, it's not because they don't want to be with me. It's just because they're tired and that's what they need. So again, acknowledging other people and what they need and what they want. So part of boundaries, it's not just having our own, it's respecting others. Because remember, the controller, they don't hear those boundaries. They say, no, it's fine, just come on. Like, we're having a good time. It's like the person's like, I'm not having a good time, I'm exhausted. So that's another part as well, so thank you for pointing that out.
You youngsters are newlyweds, so it took me a long time to figure out that since my wife is an introvert, she gets wound down around people. And I'm an extrovert, and so I enjoy being in the company of people. And I won't even realize that my wife's not right by my side. So it takes, I mean, especially for a man, he's still a knucklehead. So it takes some learning, but as the leader of the family, we have to always think about, you know, taking care of our spouse. But men have to take that next step because it's more natural, I think, for women to think of other people all the time. Mm-hmm. Men are focused on, you know, slaying dragons and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely, just acknowledging those differences and not making someone wrong for them. But we can certainly share what we need while caring about what they need. And I'll get more into that when we talk about assertiveness. But going back to our needs, so knowing what we need is also going to inform our boundaries. So I used an example yesterday, and I just get really real, so hopefully you're not too uncomfortable with how real I am. That's how I roll. But I have a need for safety, both physical and emotional. And I shared yesterday that I had told my dad that when I visited my hometown, I wasn't going to stay with him anymore because he just had a really bad temper. And it just, I couldn't hang with it. And I realized I'm an adult. I don't have to stay here and listen to this and be treated this way. And I don't feel safe because I never know when he's going to blow. And so I needed safety, so I was able to think, what would help me feel safe? And the answer I came up with was not staying in his house. I can visit him, but then if I'm not staying there, then I can know, okay, if things do escalate, if he starts yelling, I can just leave. And I don't have to worry about gathering all my stuff or anything or having to return later. So that's kind of how I started here and worked backwards. So we can also do this with our feelings, like, okay, I'm really angry. Okay, what is causing the anger? Oh, I believe that person disrespected me, and this is the event that caused that. Okay, so what what boundaries do I need to put in place so that I don't feel disrespected again? And again, that could just be in my own heart and my own mind. It could just be doing things on my end, because we cannot control other people. We can tell people what we would like. We can tell them what we need, but they get to choose at the end of the day if they want to do that or not. And it's the same for us. We have the freedom to ask things of people, and they have the freedom to know, and we also have the freedom to say no. So the reason why I'm harping on the feelings and the needs is if we're not aware of what we need and what we feel, it's going to be really, really hard to know where to set boundaries. So if there's a certain relationship or situation where you're feeling, where you're having some really intense negative emotions, that might be a good place for you to start exploring and thinking, okay, what would make me feel more at peace in this situation? What would make me feel more safe? What would make me feel more physically okay? This can be really logistical too. It's just like, if you're running around last night I had all this stuff I needed to do, but I was like, I haven't eaten in 6 hours. I need to sit down and have dinner. And that was my boundary. That's how I set my priorities. It was like, yeah, I know I have all this to do, but I need to take care of this first before I can do all this. And so next, let's see. I'm trying to see where my guy is. So another way, so like we talked about, sometimes you just set the boundary in your own mind and you don't necessarily have to say it out loud. Sometimes you do because, it's more loving to say it out loud because the person is like wondering what's up. But honestly, the more powerful thing is actually following through with your actions. So sometimes your actions alone are good enough, but sometimes we do need to communicate our boundaries, and sometimes we have boundaries through our language. And we do that through assertive communication, which is up here. And another way, this is like the pie chart, but another way of looking at this is on a spectrum, where down here we have passive communication, and on the other end of the spectrum, we have aggressive communication. And so passive is where basically we're saying, I don't really care, my own needs and desires are not important, and I will just completely bow to what everyone else needs and wants. And so I lose, you win. And this can be fine at times, and there are times where, yeah, it is okay to be sacrificial and to give up your needs and wants. And that's, sometimes that is the right thing to do, but if that is a regular thing in your life, that's probably not going to work out so well, because every person has needs, and that's not wrong. So if you go through life constantly denying that, a lot of times we get resentful, and then sometimes we go up here to passive aggressive, where because we've been so passive and we're not getting our needs met, we get upset. But rather than communicating assertively, we'll do, like me banging around in the kitchen, that was so passive-aggressive. I wasn't being direct. I wasn't saying, Dad, I'm so frustrated that, and I feel really hurt that, you changed your plans and now you can't take me to the airport. I feel like you don't really care about me. That would have been assertive. But instead, I went and banged around in the kitchen. That was passive-aggressive. I know. So I'm not perfect, guys. God help me. And then sometimes people who are here, sometimes they'll go over to aggressive. They'll, it's like it builds up, and then they'll just blow up. And the people around them are like, well, I don't know why, what happened? And it's because there's all this stuff that's been building up. So again, this is why being so compliant and always doing what others want, that's not always the most loving thing, because blowing up at people is not really that loving, right? And so sometimes that happens. And sometimes people, they just live in the aggressive zone, and that's where, what I want and what I need is most important, and I don't really care about anyone else. I will step on other people to get what I want. And so it's I win, you lose. And then where we want to live is assertive. And this is where I care about what I want and what I need, but I also care about what you want and what you need. And so this is rather than attacking, making value judgments, it's saying, the situation I'm talking about, I was visiting my dad for Father's Day, and my dad's pretty old. He's old for being, I'm only in my 30s, and my dad is 80, so he's kind of older to be my dad. And I can see him aging, and that's an adjustment. And so he has a hard time keeping schedules in his mind. And, I was flying out on Sunday, and on Friday he was like, well, we have a concert on Sunday afternoon, so maybe your sister can take you to the airport. And my sister lives, like, pretty far away, and so I got upset about that. And if I had been assertive, I could have said something like, well, Dad, I'm actually pretty disappointed, because you've known that I was coming for, months, and so I'm kind of disappointed that you scheduled this thing and that, you're not taking care of me. Like, I need a ride to the airport, and, so that kind of hurts my feelings. So that is assertive. It's, I'm not attacking him. I'm stating the truth. And sometimes assertiveness does feel intense. But again, just because someone gets upset or gets angry doesn't necessarily make it wrong. So if you know that you're speaking to that person respectfully, while also being honest about yourself, that you're okay. Because he still could have gotten defensive. He could have been like, what? Of course I care about you. I've spent all this time with you and blah, 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 and I'm allowed to have fun. And he could have done that. But usually when we engage with people assertively, it pulls them out of these. Sometimes it doesn't, and again, we can't control others, but we can, we can act in a way to where we feel like we're in integrity. Because if you have ever been here, you most likely don't feel too awesome afterwards. I've never met someone who feels good after they've been really aggressive. I've also, usually people who are here, they usually don't feel too great after that. Here, people feel taken advantage of, they feel stepped on. Here, people feel like, oh, I was such a jerk. But here, it's like, I spoke my piece. So when I told my dad I'm not going to stay there anymore, I wasn't saying, you've been such a jerk, so I'm not staying with you anymore. That's your punishment, Dad. No, that's not assertive, that's aggressive. But assertive is, hey, last few times I've stayed with you, you've gotten really angry and you've yelled at me, and I'm really not okay with that. And I still want to see you, want to have a relationship with you, but so that I can feel safe, I'm just not going to stay at your house when I come to visit. And I'll come see you, but I'm not going to actually sleep there and stay there. And I hope one day that can change. And so that's assertive. I'm not calling him names. I'm not passing any value judgment. It's all factual. This is what has happened. This is how it affects me. And so this is what I'm going to do about it. You've yelled at me. It makes me feel unsafe. So I'm going to create safety for myself. And he still got mad at me. and that's fine, because sometimes the people who benefit from you not having boundaries will get mad when you set them. So that's really important for you to hold on to, because also how we set boundaries, sometimes you need another person or a group who can support you in that, who can tell you, no, you're not being mean, you're doing great, it's okay to say no. And so that might be a therapist, that might be a friend or a spouse, it might be a group you're in. But I know for me, as I was starting to set boundaries, I really needed people to speak into my life and say, no, it's okay. It's okay to not stay with your dad, because I felt extreme guilt. And my dad was so angry. So it really was a rewiring of my brain. So I would also recommend that to you guys. If there's someone who you feel could really support you in your boundary setting, to really, that will be so important, because it is hard if this is new. So when we're setting boundaries, if we do need to talk about it, the way we want to do it is assertive. So it's respecting the other person, doing our best to believe the best about them. Again, not assuming that they're trying to make your life difficult, but still keeping it real and stating the facts. So are there any questions about assertive communication versus passive or aggressive or passive aggressive? No, you guys have mastered it. You totally have it figured out.
I have a question.
Yes.
So when I'm looking at like the aggressive, mm-hmm. how does it relate to kids? Because like mm-hmm. obviously like my son, I think he's kind of aggressive. Mm-hmm. But isn't that like thinking it's all about you and not caring about other people? Isn't that like kind of typical?
Yeah, kids are totally egocentric.
Yeah.
So yes. So I would hold a kid to kind of a different standard. So of course we can still guide them, and you know, you're the one who's kind of helping your kids to know where the lines are, because they don't know how to set their own boundaries yet. So as parents, you're setting the boundaries for them. And so so you can still say like, hey, like, I know you wanted that, but you know, this person wanted it too, so we can meet in the middle, you know. So of course you can still model that and explain that, but yeah, kids are not naturally aware of the needs of others as much. Sometimes they are. Sometimes kids are so considerate. Does that answer your question?
Sort of, yeah. I think it kind of is like a personality.
It can be.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's always mine.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, that was me, and my sister was the take, and I was the, I'm fine. Like, okay. I don't need anything else. So that does happen a lot, too, and those personalities, absolutely. I just show this because I think it's funny. But so going, our evolution, going from, yeah, I'd love to, he's not being honest, right? He's being passive. And then a little more assertive. I'll check my diary, but it should be okay. So kind of like that's a very soft boundary, like where he's not totally saying yes, but not fully being no, so that's better. Maybe depends on work. Again, boundary getting a little stronger. And then not sure, busy. And then finally, no. A lot of times we feel like we need to qualify our no's. And sometimes it is good, like if you do have a really legitimate excuse, it's fine to let them know, like, hey, and maybe it is something you'd really love to do, and so you're like, you know, I would love that, but it's my daughter's recital that day, or something like that. But sometimes you're just like, you know, I'm just really tired, and I don't think I can commit to anything else. And that's okay. That's good enough. We don't need to justify ourselves, because your worth in the world is not what you do. And I am of the belief that God loves us for who we are, not what we do. And of course, we are called to serve. We're called to do things. But that is not where our identities as children of God come from. That's not where our identities as beloved comes from. And so we don't need to qualify that. Okay, and the last thing I'll say, because it's almost time to go, is thinking about your priorities. So this might be a good thing for you to do either on your own, with your spouse, with your family, but to say, what are our priorities? And a lot of people, right off the bat, they'd say, God, family, work. You know, those will be like top three maybe. But then if you actually look at where all of their time goes, that really shows you what your priorities are, and it's painful. So it's really important to say, what are my priorities? And again, that's a lens through which to view a situation and decide what your boundary's going to be. So if my priorities are, you know, my relationship with God and my other very close relationships and then my career, when I said no to the dog sitting, I was thinking about, okay, well, I want to spend time with this friend and with my boyfriend, and how is it going to affect that? And I saw it was going to negatively affect that. And I was like, you know, it's more important to me to be present for my friends this weekend than it is to dog sit. And so that helped me inform that. And then also, you know, if I have clients who want to meet with me at times that aren't really great for me, you know, maybe it's like, well, I like to use the early morning to spend time with the Lord, to exercise, you know, and to just be with him, to re-energize myself and realign myself with God. And a client says, oh, could, you know, our normal time's not going to work. Could I come earlier? I might say, you know, actually, in my own head, I might think, well, okay, how's that going to affect my day? Is that going to get in the way of my other priorities? If yes, then I would say no. If it doesn't affect me at all, either way, then I say yes. It's like, sure, no problem. But I'm being honest, you know. Have you ever said, sure, no problem, when it's like, actually, that's a big problem? So that's another way for us to figure out, when do we say yes, when do we say no? Because priorities are important. And the world is always going to be pulling at you to give more. But if you know what your priorities are, and everyone's might look different, you know, then you can know what to say no to. You know, how many people, you know, say their family is their first priority, but so much time and energy is spent with work, phone calls are taken at home, you know, which again isn't all bad. But if that's becoming, taking away from what you really believe is more important to you, then there might need to be some adjustments. So again, I'm not saying that any way of doing this is wrong. It's what are your priorities? What do you really want to give most of your time and energy to? And then how are you going to order your life to make that happen? And again, we are responsible for that. And we can, you know, in the song he says, before I blame someone else, I have to save myself. So we can blame others for asking of us, but, you know, we are responsible for saying yes to those things. So just to summarize before I let you guys go, so in order to know how to set our boundaries, we need to be in touch with our feelings. So I invite you, even as you have some space this week, maybe in time with God in solitude, to let him reveal to you what are some of those feelings you've been having, and what might they be trying to tell you, and what might God be trying to tell you through those feelings. And is there an indication that a boundary needs to be set somewhere? And maybe also asking him, what do I need? If there's a situation that's causing you a lot of distress, asking yourself and asking God, what do I need in this situation to feel peace and to be able to do what I need to do? And again, that's not always easy to identify, so maybe you need to talk to a friend, or if you have a counselor, a therapist, or a pastor. So sometimes we need to work these things out loud. And I've had people where they just sit and they talk for the whole hour and I literally say nothing and they figure it all out on their own. And they're like, thanks so much. And I'm like, no problem. I just listened and I just actively listened and they figured it out. So again, those needs, getting more in touch with those needs and knowing it's okay to need things because we're humans. And then again, listing what are my top priorities and what things are going to win out over other things. You know, if I say yes to this, it usually means you have to say no to something else. So thinking through, okay, well, if I say yes to this, what do I have to cut out? And am I okay with that? Is my family okay with that? Is my job okay with that? So those are just, it seems so simple, but it can be really challenging. But if you take nothing else away, your feelings, your needs, and your priorities. If you can get a handle on that and view the situations through those lenses, you're going to be able to see, like, oh, there it is. That's where I need to put that line. And also remembering that boundaries are not a brick wall. They're able to change and mold and move. And so we might set boundaries for a season. Like, Suri, you were talking about how you've had a really draining season. So you might say no to more things right now. And it doesn't mean you're always going to be like that. Like if you have been through a really hard time, you just may not be able to give as much, and that's okay. So maybe you just have to kind of, maybe your boundaries need to get a little thicker at that time. And then when you've regained your full strength, you can open them up a little more. So again, nothing is set in stone. And I also think that when we're at our weakest and we need help, I think the people who love us, it's an honor to get to walk with us. And then we can know there will come a day when this person that I love is at their weakest and I'm going to be back to my full strength and I'm going to get to support them. So again, but we want to support people and love people out of strength, out of that abundance, not scraping at the bottom of the barrel to give something. So, and I love that scripture that says, you know, when I'm weak, then I am strong, that that Christ works through our weakness. So it's okay to acknowledge when we're not fully okay, when we do need help, because God affirms that he meets us there. And it's just acknowledging that we need him, which is completely true. And anyone who says they're good and don't need God, I'm like, well, that's interesting. That's probably not true. So, so I'll leave you guys with the Serenity Prayer. And maybe I'll actually just pray this over you guys, so you can close your eyes if you want. You can say it with me if you want. But this is a great prayer to pray as you're trying to learn where you need to set boundaries and where you have control and where you do not. So let me just kind of give this to you as a benediction. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world, as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. All right, have a great rest of your day.